prayed this morning in the collect. Gracious God, when we are discouraged by our weakness, strengthen us to follow Jesus, our pattern and our hope. Have a seat. Oh, that Jesus. He's subtle sometimes. Once again, the master teacher presents his students with a lesson that helps us refocus our spiritual attention and gain insight into God's way of seeing the world. I'm getting just a little bit of feedback on my mic. Could you just, quick adjustment? Thank you.
One of the things I love the most about Jesus is that he's aware of what's happening all around him, but he's acutely attentive to what drives us all from that deepest place within us. That part of us that Jesus is always trying to get at, that's the part that best connects us to God, and the part we most often are not attentive to. Today presents the perfect teachable moment for Jesus to reach into that place and build and strengthen our connection with God. In today's teaching, Jesus gives us the key to understanding right away. But because of the context of the moment, I bet most of us miss it. The story opens and closes with terrible things. At the beginning, Pilate does something truly ghastly. And then it sounds like there was a tragic industrial accident. Fall of tower. And then at the end, the poor fig tree is given just a year to do something. And if not, the gardener will give it a go, but then he'll be willing to let it get cut down. Now, I'm no gardener, but even I know you've got to do more than just put a little manure around if you expect to have any chance at all at saving a tree. Within this situation that's sure to excite our imaginations, Jesus steps in and offers us a different, better way to live in this troubling time. Because Jesus is compassionate and cares about us very much, he doesn't make us look hard to find the key to understanding where he's leading us. He puts it right up at the beginning of the parable. Did you see it? Look again. Second paragraph, first sentence. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Vineyards are where grapes grow. Why would you plant a fig tree among wine grapes? Fig trees don't belong in vineyards. Right away, Jesus draws our attention toward the important thing. What happens with this fig tree in the vineyard? It's not growing grapes, that's for sure. It's not growing anything. For 3 years, that little fig tree has been surrounded by a culture that expects it's going to do what everyone else is doing. Cultivation of vines is meant for the optimum production of not figs. Somehow, even after 3 years, with all these vine plants, this fig tree has yet to produce a single grape. That fig tree's got some nerve. I feel bad for the little fig tree. Can you imagine being a fig tree, plumped down in the middle of a place where everything is cultivated to grow grapes, and the expectation is grapes, and all you've got is not grapes? All the manure in the world isn't going to make the fig tree accomplish what everyone else is doing. The fig tree didn't ask to be planted there. It's certainly not capable of uprooting itself and wobbling on over to the next field where all the other fig trees are. It got planted there. And that's where it's expected to grow. It's an impossible situation, and one where all roads lead. news cycle delivers it to us, we've already scrolled our socials for information outlets to seek it out. It damages our spirits to witness it. But for some reason, it's all we can see. There's a cultural lust for such pessimism. Top news stories are of nations on the brink of destruction, economies on the brink of collapse, and cities and towns at the edge of ruin. Did you hear what Pilate did to those Galileans? We're probably on schedule for a drought wildfire season. Did they release the names of those 18 construction workers who died when the tower fell? It so often feels like we're surrounded by terrible, overwhelming things, and there's nothing we can do about it. We are like that little fig tree in the vineyard. What can we do? The fig tree was never meant to grow grapes. I'm no gardener, but I feel pretty confident that if you plant a fig tree and expect grapes, you're going to be disappointed. Jesus was asked if the people who died were particularly bad sinners. The people had gotten caught up in a sensational story. We were caught up in the whirlwind of violence and hatred and ugliness. Pilate was just one of a number of powerful people who claimed ownership over the whole place, who could strike down anyone at any time who didn't conform to his way of being. The people asking Jesus about this wanted more than anything else to be assured that they would be able to grow grapes on demand. Like the little fig tree, they were trying so hard to produce grapes that they weren't able to grow anything at all. Jesus tries to get them to hear themselves when he asks them about the tower collapse. But they can't. They've been lured into the pessimism of their time, and they can't look away. How can they produce the fruits of the kingdom of heaven if they're putting all their attention on what's not the kingdom of heaven? The parable tries to illustrate the hope and purpose of being different. That fig tree is supposed to be exactly where it is. It has a job to be different. Its role in the vineyard is to show the beautiful and holy diversity of God's creation. It's desirable to be a fig tree if you're a fig tree, especially when there doesn't seem to be anything else in the world but grapes. Just when things are looking their worst, along comes the gardener, Jesus says. Thank God for the gardener. In all the whole little world of this fig tree in the vineyard, there is one person who comes to help. Thank God for the gardener. It's the gardener who demonstrates the nature of God's love and compassion. The gardener knows this is a fig tree among grapevines. It was never meant to get caught up in the business of grape growing, the business of overwhelming news cycles and doom scrolling, the business of catastrophe. It's there to make figs. Every time the fig tree tries to produce a grape, nothing at all happens. And the tree ends up putting itself at risk. The gardener comes to care for the fig tree, to nurture it, to feed and protect it, to give it everything it needs to produce something different than all the other plants around it, because difference is good, and that is its nature. My sisters, and my brothers, and my non-binary siblings, the world needs fig trees. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to bring a different perspective to the world around us. It is not for us to get caught up in the pornography of pessimism. Our job is to be the countercultural element that opposes the insistence of powers of hate, cynicism, and violence. We were planted here to show the world that there's another way to be, one of peace, one of love. Christ, our gardener, has come to us to tend our identity as being different from those around us. Christ comes to help us yield the fruits of hope, God's love, the healing power of reconciliation in the world. Beloveds, by the power of our baptism, we are We don't have to conform our beautiful lives into something we were never meant to be. We embody hope and love in our very being. That is our nature. Preparing ourselves for Easter requires setting aside the things that overtake our attention, things that prevent us from being the good news in the world, producing the fruits of God's beautiful, holy diversity of creation. Easter requires us to have our roots hoed around, like the gardener does to the fig tree. Make a boundary around your soul, and you can be fed with good things, so that you can grow to the fullness of exactly what God created you to be. Just because you're surrounded by vines and you're a fig tree, doesn't mean you can't still bear fruit. If God placed you here on earth to be different, then be as God intended you to be. Grow love where there is a shortage of it. Grow reliability where there is instability. Grow decency where there is rudeness. The gardener will feed your hope and not your pessimism. And so what is fruit in you can emerge and be seen and be shared with everyone around you. Friends, the master teacher's parable. In this parable, Jesus wants you to be a fig tree. Because if you're a fig tree, then Jesus gets to be the gardener, attending to you so that you can yield the fruits of God's love in the world is what Jesus really wants to do. That's the end of the parable. Oh, the gardener tells the vineyard owner that the gardener's care, if it doesn't yield results in a year, the fig tree can be cut down. That's okay. Because the world of parables is a closed system. There is no next year. The day the gardener promises to care for the tree is a perpetual day. The gardener can be unconcerned about what happens a year from now because it will never come. This is the end of the parable. In the world of the parable, we are left with the gardener lovingly tending to that little fig tree forever.